you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Let's open up the overflow.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Let's open up the overflow.
To Extra Large on Discourse.
Even though it always still says extra large, and I always call it overflow, yeah, it's just a little bit inconsistent, hey?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge. So Samantha P suggests make Christmas special at the barbecue. That sounds like a good idea. I don't see a problem with that.
We're going to fit in a barbecue between now and Christmas.
I don't
know about you, but pretty much every week maybe we have between now and then is booked up solid.
Yeah. Maybe the Christmas barbecue can happen sometime in February.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to be going up to my parents' place on the 21st, I think.
Yeah.
And then I'll be there until the 4th of January.
Yeah.
So you're just taking a short time away from not having a job.
What?
I don't know. Most people go on their Christmas holiday, you know, they just time it for when they're away from work.
Oh, okay. Well, because I don't have a job, then I can and if I'm at my parents' place, then it's a lot cheaper for me. So I thought I'll do it on a big chunk.
All right.
So Robin, did you mean your video to be so hilarious on the overflow? On the election show? It was so good.
Yes, it was not serious.
Oh, I loved it. I was just, because I hadn't watched it before we went to air. So that was the first time I'd seen it. So I was just pissing myself. Then, I probably should have done something about that sofa, actually, now that I think about it.
What sofa?
Sorry, Cactus Lab.
The sofa Cactus that he pissed on.
I'm as bad as a North Shore mayor.
Dills, can you give me that so I can put it on YouTube?
Yeah. Actually, I'll send you the link that I got.
I thought it was funny that I was excited that you had that new iPhone, because I was like, oh, cool, you can use that to like Skype into the show from somewhere. And then instead, Dylan just got you a friggin' cameraman.
Yeah, and he was really good. He was Sam was very professional, and he had a really good spot picked out,
chat room even.
Yes, I noticed that. Good on you, mate. It was a really lovely spot overlooking the harbour. Rangitai.
Yeah, it looks like he might have taken a few presenters up there in the past, if you know what I'm saying.
Are you pregnant now, Robin?
Done a few PTCs from that spot, eh? Oh, eh?
Yeah, total one take wonder.
Oh no, Sam says he's deleted it. So I just sent you the link, but it's probably not there anymore.
Someone in the chat room said, let's open up the corned beef. Let's open up the corned beef!
Oh, do we have to straight away? Can't we just... I'm not ready for it.
Corned beef.
Actually, to be honest, I'm not really ready for it either.
Well, Dylan, do you have a copy of it in some other form?
We'll find it. Yep, I'm sure I have one somewhere.
Good.
Hey, interesting thing. We started talking on because I asked Robin, or I asked the internet, and Robin answered. I can't remember if I tagged you to get your attention because I thought you'd know or not. But what happens if you vote more than once?
Like, oh, we know now.
We sort of do, but then we got into sort of
you can do discussion. It. You actually can do it, but you need to choose someone who won't vote as well. And if you do that, you'll get away with it.
But here's the thing, right? So if you go to your polling place and vote, and I go to another polling place in your electorate, or even out of your electorate, and cast a vote with your name and your birth date, which I know, what happens?
Okay, I'll tell you what happens, because I've done this.
I want to know.
Okay, on election day,
yes,
they'll both be counted.
Yes.
But after election day, they go through and all the ballot forms are sent to the central office, and they go through and they count them again, and they have a master roll. And so basically everyone is checked off the master roll. And if they've already checked you off and then a second vote comes along for the same person, it's like, hello, what's going on here? And they will investigate that.
Okay. So then what? So there's a few things that this brings up to me. One, your vote isn't really anonymous, because obviously every voting paper is tied to an entry in the electoral roll. So yep. Clearly anyone who has access can find out exactly who you voted for. Two, if I go to a polling place and present myself as Morgan Nickel and say, you know, this is my name and address or birth date or whatever it is I need to provide.
They would say you're not nearly handsome enough to be a Morgan.
Clearly not, but just imagine I could get away with it. So what if Morgan votes, I don't know, Labour and New Zealand First, as I know he's inclined to, and I vote National and ACT, as I would like to. What happens to the votes?
Sorry, what was your scenario? If Morgan...
Well, so Morgan votes Labour, mm-hmm. Labour New Zealand First, and I vote National yep. ACT yep. on it with his name. There's two votes yep. now with Morgan okay. Nickel as their name. One is...
Okay. I think they would contact you because your contact details are on, and they would say, hang on, what's going on here? And then if you say, well, that's funny because that one at the town hall, I didn't do that, so that someone else did that, and my one was the one at the community centre, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe you might get the police involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's just interesting because I just like if any part, like you know, I'm not entirely comfortable with computerized elections. I like the fact that we have paper and this paper trail thing happens.
Yeah.
But if any part of the electoral roll of the election process could be computerized, I think that part could be
the sign in part, so that you can't sign in at multiple places.
Yes.
I agree with that, but then they have to give you a piece of paper.
There is also some, yes, but there is
and
also
no
some,
fucking some machine big... that punches holes. Our system where you put a felt pen on a piece of paper works so well.
There are some logistical difficulties in terms of actually equipping that number of computers around the place and in some outlying areas. But
tablets will do it just fine. You don't need a computer.
But generally, yeah, I think, you know, having some way to that part of it at least, because potentially the, you know, some people could play an electorate quite heavily. And you could end up with a very skewed result.
What you could do if you knew that the old lady next door wasn't going to vote, or whoever, you could go and vote in their name.
Exactly. One of my coworkers didn't vote. If I'd known that ahead of time, I could have gone and voted for him.
You could have doubled your impact.
Yeah.
Just, you know, one cheat in Christchurch Central could have made a big difference on election night.
Well, and maybe one cheat in Christchurch Central has made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it as likely that there's that much voting fraud that goes on.
No, I don't. But it just strikes me as a big opportunity. I'd love to know more about this very specifics of the way the vote is counted and tabulated.
All right, well, put it down in the doc, and we'll yep. talk to someone.
Because it is basically illegal to do that. So if you have found
I mean, of course it's illegal, but you know.
So that's why people.
So lots of things.
You know, you don't get it from a party officials trying. Okay, what they do is going around to old people and saying, hello, Edna, do you need a ride to the polling booth?
Yeah.
What was suggested actually on...
Three Labour volunteers come and offer to take him to a polling booth.
Hmm. And that's cool. I don't see a problem with that. I don't see a problem with that. It sounds good.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bit weird that they do it with, you know, that it's branded, as it were.
Someone on public address suggested that if you lived in a student-y area... you could go around the mailboxes and take their fast cards, because a lot of those people probably won't vote. And mm-hmm. and that means you don't need to know any of their details. You just walk into alternate polling places.
Hand over cards.
Exactly. Hand over card and vote, and then go to the next one and vote, and go to the next one and vote. But the reality is that so many people would have to do that to affect... I mean, there's almost no electorate where one person, without being extraordinarily busy, could have even the slightest impact. Because in most cases, the margin is certainly hundreds. Certainly hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few close races this time, including the one amazingly...
The weird, crazy one, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, usually, as much as it's you know, just disheartening to say that your vote doesn't matter, because obviously...
Of course it does.
In some, it does.
Of course it does, yeah.
Individually, it usually doesn't.
Well...
And the other thing to do that...
Except every single one is individual.
Well, of course. Yeah. And as a whole, obviously, all our votes are very important, but... Yeah. You know, any one person cannot vote, and it makes not a lot of difference.
Just being engaged is the really important part.
I think another reason why that doesn't happen, because it would only work in electorates that were really marginal. And you would have to have a lack of faith that your party couldn't pull through. So I think everyone secretly thinks in the marginal electorates, oh yeah, we'll win because we're awesome, so we don't need to cheat. So that's why it doesn't happen.
All right, we didn't do, what's your Auntie Ben talking about? What's your Auntie Ben sending you?
What's your Auntie Ben talking about?
Selena really wants me to change those, because when I got her to record all the new stings, she had a cold. And so, in this one.
Tune in right now for the extra large extended edition, available on discourse.co.uk.
She feels like she sounds really husky. sorry?
I think it sounds nice.
Yeah, me too. I think she's got a great voice. All right, carry on. Rubsy, you've got one?
I have one. It's a series called New Girl. It stars Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
And
No.
Okay, let me explain.
Zooey Deschanel can go and soak her head. Zooey Deschanel, she's the worst thing in the world. Zooey Deschanel, she's got eyes that want to be stabbed. Zooey Deschanel.
Now that's a sting right there. That's a jingle.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
Have you seen 500 first? No, what was it? What's five? Not 500 first dates. 500 days of.
Days of summer.
500 days of a pain in my ass.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. So shut up. Okay. I had not originally watched it because I thought for those same reasons, I'm quirky. But then I read it was a breakdown of what different American audiences watched based on demographics. What the white people watch, what the rich people.
And you found that hipsters watched it, so you wanted to get in on that.
Not hipsters, but with similar letters, Hispanics. New Girl ranks highest amongst Hispanic audiences. And I did some digging, and I also discovered that it is produced, and some of the episodes are directed by Jake Kasdan, who wrote and directed one of my favourite films, Zero Effect, which is really funny, and I highly recommend it.
How long do you think you've known the word Hispanics?
What do you mean?
It's not a word that I'd ever heard. Like, it's not a word that ever featured in my life for a long, long time.
Oh, I don't know. I watched Sesame Street and all that.
Robin, Hispanic. Do you aspire to be Latina?
I'm not going to call them spics. You know what I want to do is do the whole cholo fancy dress thing with the eyebrows.
Cholo! Yeah.
Because that would be awesome.
Right, so tell me about New Girl.
Okay, so...
Oh, so what did he make? The episodes of what show?
Zero Effect, which is
Zero Effect. I don't know what that is.
It was Bill Pullman playing this crazy detective, and Ben Stiller was his assistant.
Bill Pullman was in the past backwards. No. Oh God, Dark Backwards. That's what it's called. Dark Backwards. Did he eat a dog there? Was that Bill Pullman? Yes, The Dark Backwards from 1991. Oh, my God, the IMDb rating is 4.9, but I remember it so positively. Yes, it's Bill Paxton as Gus. Judd Nelson is the lead.
He was the president in Independence Day.
Oh, man.
He's been in lots of cool films. That was probably one of the most mainstream ones. He does lots of crazy characters.
Judd Nelson is a stand-up comedian who has, like, a boil growing on his shoulder, and then I think like it turns into a replacement head, and then his head starts shrinking. It is the craziest movie. I'm amazed that it's only got 4.9.
That is disappointing, isn't it? Sometimes clearly people on IMDb have no idea.
It must be revisited. Anyway,
the only review gives it 1 star, and the title is I Was Warned. A friend told me this was the worst movie he had ever seen. I was curious because it had developed a bit of a cult status. I like a lot of odd indie cult movies, so I gave it a shot. I have to agree with my friend. It is a steaming pile of dung. I'm sorry to the people who love this movie, but I can't recommend much better stuff. If you want to watch a twisted indie cult film, try Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, a.k.a. Branded, Cemetery Man, a.k.a. Delamore, or Modern Vampires. 5 of 9 people found this review helpful. Sorry, carry on about New Girl.
Yay. So the basic premise is Zooey Deschanel plays a woman who's just broken up with her boyfriend, and so she's moved out of the house and she moves into this flat with three guys.
Then the boyfriend gets a new girlfriend, and she's not the new girl, but the new girl is the other guy's new girl?
No, he doesn't really come into it much.
Oh, stick.
But,
all right.
So it's basically it's a bit of the whole mixed flatting thing, you know, a woman living with three guys. And She's kind of your classic manic. Was it manic pixie girl thing?
Yeah.
She sings and, but she kind of takes the piss out of that thing. And what really I find most interesting about it is a comedy, but there is no laughter track. It is more right. like a romantic comedy film.
Yeah.
So suddenly there'll be someone will say something and it will be really funny. And she has her best friend as a model. And it's the whole thing with sitcoms, how if you have one character who's a bit of something, you have another character who's an extreme version of that,
yeah.
sort of tone down that quality. So Zooey Deschanel is quite hot, but if you have the model friend, it's like, well, she's not actually hot. She's the freaky one.
Yeah. She's not hot. She's got those fucking eyes that ruin everything.
Well, some people like her eyes.
I think you're wrong.
Those people are insane.
They're upside down. Oh, wow, that's why I like her.
Yes, because your eyes are also upside down. I forgot all about that.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was just really delightful. And
oh, she's my age too. We could get married.
Yay.
No, because you can't be married more than once at a time.
That's okay. I can deal with that.
It takes 2 years. And I think you'd change your mind by the end of that 2 years. Okay, so is that everything about New Girl? Do you think people should watch it? There's no way I'm watching it because Zooey Deschanel. Hell
okay,
no.
If you don't like her, then you won't like it. If you do like her, and I know some guys do, then you will probably like it.
Right.
She's so lovely.
What I've added into what's your auntie been talking about is something that my auntie has definitely not been talking about for years and years and years. And this is just a bit from West Wing. Do you remember there was a Bible-thumping Christian woman who was homophobic and hated the gays? And President, what was he, Barker or something?
Bartlett.
President Bartlett was like, blah, 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 you shouldn't be da-dee-dee-dee. And she was like, I don't hate gays. The Bible says that.
And then he comes back with the wicked.
And then he does that amazing diatribe about, you know, I want to sell my daughter into slavery. Where should I do that? And if my neighbor has blah de blah, then should I kill him myself or should I get the police to do it? And if my mother wears different kinds of, you know, clothes made of different kinds of material, should I stone her to death or should I get a crowd together to help? And it's just so friggin' brilliant and I love it. And that was just something about West Wing at its height.
Yeah, it had a few moments of that, a few fantastic. That was definitely one of the standouts.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily about being anti-religious, it's about being anti-holding on to old ideas.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm such a fan of, I'm anti-religious because it's kind of by definition about actually adopting other people's ideas as your entire core belief system. But also a lot of those old ideas are thousands of years old and were formulated by people who didn't know anything about the universe at all other than here's the ground and here's a rock. And that's basically, you know, the sum total of it. But, you know, what we have now is science. And science is about testing your ideas. It's about challenging everything that you believe to be true and trying to prove it is or not. And that's basically what that rant's about, I think. There's more to it than just, you know, don't be blah-da-blah-da-blah-da about the Bible because it's a bigger...
picking and choosing as well. It's about, you know,
yes.
You can't... If you want to call on that, you need to seriously think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've got two in there.
Oh, goody. Well, I don't have any buttons to push. Just get the cracking.
Yeah, okay. How to Make It in America, which is it's an older series. I don't know if it's... I think it's finished, but I saw it on the plane coming back from Sydney a while ago. Mm. Started watched about 4 episodes on the plane, and I then had my auntie look for it for me. Yeah. I don't really know how to describe it. It's a series about some serial entrepreneurs basically coming up with, you know, business plans. In the end, I think they make jeans.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I saw it, but I just remembered it and remembered that I wanted to go and find those tapes. And
is it real or is it fiction?
It's fiction. It's fiction. It's kind of a good
Wikipedia series. Says, How to Make It in America follows two enterprising 20-somethings hustling their way through New York City's fashion scene, determined to achieve their vision of the American dream.
So it's all about fashion from start to finish then, surely?
Kind of. I mean,
I'm suddenly less interested.
There's also skateboard decks and
oh, that's cool. So it's quite arty.
And Luis Guzman is in it.
Luis? Is he one of the ugliest men in the world?
Yes, definitely.
And Mark Wahlberg is the executive producer.
Yeah, actually, it reminded me a bit of some of the small amount of Entourage I've seen. Had kind of a similar vibe.
Oh, okay, so they're very flashy and they get success without earning it. and they stumble actually, their way to success.
The entire, it's produced by the entire Entourage, or executive produced by the entire Entourage production team.
Right.
There you go.
Well, so, I guess I like Entourage, but those people are horrible. They're all horrible. They're all scumbags.
It's nothing like the people in Entourage. And then,
yeah.
I saw a TV show on the television last night.
Yeah.
Called Southland.
Yeah.
Which is not about the large portion of the South Island.
Where apparently a lot of our exports come from, according to some people.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
It's about South LA. Yeah. It's a cop show. But it's, there's something about it visually that I can't quite explain. Sorry, my wife's just turned up for my credit card. There's something about it which I can't quite explain, which is just visually it's got some really interesting stuff happening. It kind of, from time to time, it's a bit cinema verite.
Yeah. Sorry, just a second.
PhD. Yes, sir.
In psychology?
No, sir.
Theology?
No.
Social work?
I have a PhD in English literature.
I'm asking because on your show, people call in for advice and you go by the name Dr. Jacobs on your show, and I didn't know if maybe your listeners were confused by that and assumed you had advanced training in psychology, theology, or healthcare.
I don't believe they are confused, no, sir.
Good. I like your show. I like how you call homosexuality an abomination.
I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does.
Yes, it does. Leviticus.
18:22.
Chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. She's a Georgetown sophomore, speaks fluent Italian, always cleared the table when it was her turn. What would a good price for her be? While thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Here's one that's really important, because we've got a lot of sports fans in this town. Touching the skin of a dead pig makes one unclean, Leviticus 11:7. If they promise to wear gloves, can the Washington Redskins still play football? Can Notre Dame? Can West Point? Does the whole town really have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? Can I burn my mother in a small family gathering for wearing garments made from two different threads? Think about those questions, would you? One last thing. While you may be mistaking this for your monthly meeting of the ignorant, tight-ass club. In this building, when the president stands, nobody sits.
No one talks like that in real life, though.
Toby.
I don't know if it's
Toby. Yes, Mr. President. That's how I beat him.
There you go. All right. Sorry, I who played Samantha? What was the name? Samantha something? Samantha P. Posted that in the chat room, so I had to play it because you know it's been a little right. while. It's been a little while.
No, there's a few scenes from West Wing that always stick with me. There's Big Cheese Day as well about the Peter's is it the Mercator versus Peter's map projections?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Anyway,
there was a map projections. XKCD yeah, very recently.
What they say about your personality.
I just like everything to have an equal area, you know, the area of an island needs to be, you know, if two islands are of an equal area, then they should look the same size on the goddamn map. Yeah. And when you do that, Africa is friggin' giant. And, you know, things like Greenland and North America suddenly look a bit smaller than in you know, the normal... I don't know what the normal projection is that makes that.
Love that show.
Yeah.
Anyway, Southland, I was saying, yeah, there's some aspects of it that are just very different from TV shows like I've seen before. So, you know, it'll go from feeling quite dramatic one minute to feeling almost documentary another minute.
Yeah.
And it seems to be quite good. I don't know how many series there are. It looks like there are four seasons. I don't know whether it's on at the moment or what. I think I think the one I saw on TV last night was the first episode of the first season,
yeah,
based on kind of the storyline, but I don't even know. Nothing.
8.6 on IMDb.
Yeah, well received.
That is pretty friggin' good. Oh, they've made 4 seasons.
Apparently.
Already. Wow. Oh, they're small seasons. They're 6 episode seasons, yeah?
Very unusual for American. I wonder what channel it's on. Maybe it, I wonder who makes. I don't even know where it screens usually. Like what network? It's probably obviously cable network. If it's that small, I would never do that on a.
It says that people who liked this also liked Luther, which also has 8.6, and I'm a big fan of Luther, and it's also got Breaking Bad in there and Boardwalk Empire. So, you know, there you go. I think it's, if you liked Luther, if you like Breaking Bad, maybe check it out. I'll see if my auntie can send me a copy.
Yeah. Check it out. See what your auntie's got.
Mm. So we've got some feedback in the chat room. Discourse is awesome. Yeah, we couldn't agree more. It is awesome. Tell people about it.
I had one other election-related thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
And that is, I've seen no fewer than 3 expatriate Americans commenting this election on how efficient and impressive our electoral process is.
Yeah.
In so much as you can walk in, cast a vote, turn around and leave in under sort of 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas apparently, I've never voted in the States because I'm not an American.
They don't vote on the weekend. They vote on a weekday.
They vote on a weekday and they have to line up for fucking ages.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They get allocated, apparently they get allocated a polling place they have to go to.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how it works, but yeah, it's crazy. And the whole American electoral system is completely fucked.
The electoral college thing is ridiculous. Frankly, I think it's anti-democratic. Yeah.
The amount of money they spend, the whole primaries thing and the amount of money you have to spend just to get to that point, it's just insane. It's completely out of control, which is one of the main criticisms the Occupy movement in the States has, which is completely reasonable. And it's one of the reasons I think the Occupy movement in New Zealand is a bit limp, to be honest, is that they're not, you know, I don't know what they're complaining about because they haven't been very clear and
they haven't figured it out yet.
But they're not complaining about the same thing the American Occupy movement is complaining about.
People here are not politically disenfranchised because we do have parties from the left and the right. Now, okay, so you might say that libertarians have a bit of a hard time, but there aren't actually very many of them. It's not like they're a big voting force and somehow the man is keeping them down. They're just not enough of them to justify a representative. And if there were enough, they would have one under MMP.
I said there was only one thing I want to talk about the election, but that's actually another thing. The low voter turnout, right? So there's, what was it, 74% of enrolled voters have voted. And of eligible voters, it only is about 68% because there were something like 200,000 voters who didn't enroll. And people are saying, I've seen a number of people on Twitter say, and I've argued with them, about that. Why are so many people disenfranchised? And I say it's not disenfranchised. They are apathetic, perhaps, but not disenfranchised.
Yeah.
I went to, after I voted on Saturday, I went to a sushi restaurant and one of the ones with the conveyor belt. And as I was paying for it, I had the sticker on and the guy at the counter was like, who was a Pākehā, by the way, so if you just voted? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, cool. Yeah, I haven't voted. And I said, oh, well, you didn't know that the polling booth closed at 7. And he was like, oh, I don't even think I've registered. And he just wasn't bothered by it, you know.
Yeah.
He just hadn't got around to it. He didn't really care.
Yeah. I mean, well, people say disenfranchised, and I'm like, no, that means a whole thing. Like, disenfranchised is people who have had their right to vote taken from them in some way, either
or an American situation where you can't get time off work to vote, or you could vote after work, but you'd have to get a taxi home instead of the late train sort of thing, and kids or whatever.
Exactly, all sorts of things like that, or even in the extent where, you know, in some states there was big controversies about people being disqualified from voting.
You could vote in advance. You could fax your vote.
Well, people being disqualified in the States for voting for being felons when they weren't, Although I still find the fact that you can never vote again once you've been convicted of a felony in many states in the US to be quite wrong.
That's a bit shit.
I think not being able to vote while you're a felon is one thing.
Yeah, while you're in prison,
but
perhaps.
Once you've done it...
You should be rehabilitated.
Well, that's the theory, isn't it? Once you've paid your debt to society, you've paid your debt to society. What the fuck? But yeah, I mean, the people who didn't vote in this election were not disenfranchised. They chose not to vote. Why they chose not to vote is seriously worth investigating. Like, you know, is it because everyone was, you know, believing it was a foregone conclusion, or is there other things going on? Is the media at fault? Is the system not right? Those things should be looked at. But it's not disenfranchisement. That has a whole specific meaning.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that people choosing not to vote or even enroll is the same. Anyway, so that was the thing. I just thought you said disenfranchisement and it reminded me.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd mention this again. I think I mentioned this at the beginning of the show before we'd gone live, but this was a tweet tonight from Chris Novoselic, who was the bass player from Nirvana, the not Dave Grohl, not Kurt Cobain guy.
Yeah.
And he belongs to this Fair Vote organisation that seemed to be about voter reform in the US, and he tweeted, "Kiwis vote to keep MMP," with a link to a news story at TVNZ. So it's like, yay!
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, MMP's not perfect, but fuck, it's a lot better than what we could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can I ask you guys, when you voted, I assume that you both voted to keep MMP?
No, God,
nah,
no.
Fuck it.
No, I hate didn't. MMP.
So what did you vote?
I voted to keep MMP.
Yeah, me too.
But what, okay, so...
And then my second choice, I picked one that I thought not very many people would choose. Risky tactic.
Dylan, did you make a second choice vote too?
I did, and did you not make a second choice vote?
No, I did, but I know a lot of people didn't. That's the thing.
Some people didn't think it wasn't clear to some people that they could or should.
Some people didn't think they could, and I think other people would have just gone, well, I want MMP. I don't care about the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so how did you choose to make your second choice vote? I went for what I heard some people suggesting to be the tactical option. I kind of hate myself for doing it, but whatever. And I took first past the post as the secondary option, in so much as if MMP lost, I wanted it to be a pretty fucking stark choice.
Yeah.
Come down to polling time next time.
I chose STV because that's kind of fun for the council election.
So we don't actually know what the result of the referendum on voting system is, and we won't know for another nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But the results that we've got so far are pretty good.
It's still pretty borderline.
It looks like
54-48 or something. No, that wouldn't work.
53-42.
53-42.
Yeah. Now, I think that...
Where's the rest?
The 3.6% of people apparently didn't choose either option. Well, I don't know what informal votes means, but that's...
No, informal votes means ones that can't be counted for...
It means either that, basically, that the choice of the voting was not, option was not clear. Yeah. So either you haven't, there was no tick on it, you might have written smash the state, or you might have just scribbled, or you maybe ticked two boxes and all sorts of things. It just means it didn't work.
I voted keep, and then I voted PV. I can't even remember what it stands for, but it had, so I don't know how I managed to select it, but it had the lowest number of votes.
Well, I remember I was looking at the form going, God, I don't actually know what half of these things mean. Yeah. And I turned the form over hoping that there would be some sort of glossary on the back, and there wasn't.
I did the same thing. Now, the reason
there was a thing that came with your voting card, wasn't there? Was
probably, about I think there was, but I didn't read
there
it.
Was meant to be an advanced campaign that would inform everyone of exactly what, you know, all the options were and the ups and downsides of them, you know, the pros and cons of all of them. I know that there were some ads, but I think it was really insufficient, and I think that the government was taking the piss with that. Now, one thing to note, and I think this is quite amusing, more people cast, quote, informal votes in the... you know, choosing an alternate voting system, then cast a vote for the winning alternate system, which is FPP. The 34% who wrote fuck all of you or selected nothing.
Right. Well, that'd be people who didn't make a selection.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly, exactly. So there were more people didn't make a selection than chose FPP. FPP got 31.8%, and the, you know, the whatever informal votes means got 34.1%. But who knows what the result will really be in the actual referendum count, because this is the now what is this? This is 290,000 advance votes. Pretty good sample size. Mm. So probably representative, but.
Well, there are. No, it's not. That's only a tenth.
290,000. How was that a tenth? Are there 2.9 million voters?
No, but there were just over 2.9 million. There were just over 2 million votes. Hang on, I'll get the details. There were just over 2 million votes cast.
Yeah.
I'll just look it up.
I actually could save you from that because I can easily get the number. Yeah, 2,014,000.
Now, what I found, yeah.
220,000 anyway. Special.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure there was 3 million enrolled electors, enrolled voters.
Yeah.
I got that number somewhere. It was in one of my, one of my data feeds that I got from the Electoral Commission, one of the things that we got for the graphics that didn't work.
So we've just had a news item, a terrifying story from mirror.co.uk.
Marmite
spill closes busy section of M1 motorway. 20 tonnes of the yeast extract spilled when a tanker overturned on the M1. 20 tonnes of Marmite. Oh, my God.
Is it liquid Marmite? So they transport it in tankers. I mean, of course they do. What are they going to do? Test it anyway.
In a giant jar.
But this reminds me, but that New Zealand is closing the New Zealand plant that manufactures Marmite in the South Island. I don't know if it's permanent or temporary. There's an Auckland plant, so maybe that's going to be enough.
I was raging the other day. Where the fuck is Marmite made in Auckland? I was raging the other day that...
I don't know.
10 years ago, because I remember these things, yeah. 10 years ago, the Nestle fucked up
Nestles
fucked up that shit, you know, that shit.
What did they fuck up, Dylan?
Fucked up Milo. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. My brain, sorry, I was looking at something else. They fucked up Milo. You know, it used to be that you take a spoonful of Milo, you stir it into a glass of cold milk, you get a slightly chocolatey milky drink with lots of crunchy delicious Milo chunks on top.
Yeah.
Now you do that and you kind of get chocolate milk. Well, chocolatey malty milk.
So disappointing.
It dissolves.
Oh, see, I never liked that. I liked it to properly dissolve.
I always liked it when you'd put some in the bottom of your glass and then you'd pour milk in and it would just be in the bottom and you just have milk on the top. It doesn't work right. You know, whatever food scientist originally formulated, it just didn't, I mean, the concoction is not correct.
Well, it was meant to be made with hot milk.
Oh, no, why would you do that? No, you'd have to be out of your mind.
I always had it with hot milk.
No, good God, no. No, it's got to be cold after school.
Milo always seemed like one of those things that you would have. I had Quick. That was my cold milk.
Oh, dear. No, it doesn't taste the same at all.
Quick's not.
Milo always seemed like the sort of thing that if you were like a sickly child who was really thin and with a sunken chest, that you would have Milo and then you would be full of vim and vigor. And that sort of 1950s healthful New Zealand kind of way.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
But now you can get like Milo cereal and Milo chocolate bars. Actually, those Milo chocolate bars were pretty good.
Yeah, they're not great. I don't like them. I think you're wrong.
There's another show that we can talk about. And what's your auntie been talking about?
What's your auntie been talking about?
I don't know if we want to talk about it yet. Maybe I'll save it up for... Oh, no, it's the end of the...
What?
There's no point in saving it.
You're going to talk about it.
You're such a show tease.
Go on.
I can't remember what it's called. Just a second. Let me find it in my tapes drawer.
You are beautiful.
I was going to rattle things around, but then I realised I'd bash the cable and make the sound go all wrong. Homeland. Homeland. It's about a CIA... intelligence officer, as you'd probably expect with the CIA. And she is... Who is she? Claire Danes, of all people.
I mean, nothing.
What?
I didn't make an excited intake of breath sound.
Yeah, and she does. Does she? Yeah, she does. So there's that as well. Actually, let me just look up on IMDb what its rating is, because they might not like it. And if they don't like it, I don't want to tell my friends about it. 8.7! 8.7!
Oh, you win.
I did win. I'm so happy.
Wow.
Yeah, Claire Danes. And what's his name? Damian Lewis, who no one will recognize that name. But what has he been in that I recognize him from? He was in Your Highness. That can't be what it was from. He was in Dreamcatcher. That can't be it either.
No.
So what will it have been?
It's a mystery.
He was in Life. That's not what it is either.
Oh, Life.
So what is it?
Oh, Life.
I recognize him from somewhere. Oh, Band of Brothers. That's what I recognize him from. He was one of the main guys that we followed in Band of Brothers. So there you go. That's why I recognize him. And in this, he's a soldier again. But this and he's been a prisoner of I guess we can call him a prisoner of war if he's been held by terrorists after going missing in Iraq and being held captive for 8 years.
Yeah,
and
so this
CIA officer, Claire Danes, who incidentally is crazy. And hiding the fact that she's medicated for her. I shouldn't say crazy. I'm marginalizing people with manic depression. What's the correct name for it? Is manic depression the right word? Bipolar is the old word, I think, isn't it?
I believe manic depression.
Anyway, she's got, I think, manic depression. But I guess maybe she's not allowed to be in the job if she has it, because she's hiding it by getting like her sister, who maybe is a psychologist, to sneak the drugs to her, and she sort of hides the pills, I guess. And so she thinks that this guy is blah, 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 and then she illegally – this all happens in the first episode, so this is no spoilers.
Oh, sorry, it is actually bipolar disorder is the contemporary term for it.
Okay. She has bipolar disorder, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was that she had. And she illegally gets a friend of hers to install a whole lot of like surveillance equipment into this guy's house when he is rescued from his captors, and he returns home and has like horrible sex with his wife, and she's like watching in her living room with all these monitors while she eats cereal and getting off, and then it just kind of progresses from there, and she's just a bit crazy, and things get kind of complicated, and then things seem to be smoothing out, and then things get complicated again. 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb, that's basically all you need to know. 8.7 is hard to get for a TV show.
So ask
your auntie, and when you're finished watching it,
don't forget to rewind the tape.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Deniability. Hey, Dylan.
Yeah.
I had to shout because I was holding the microphone a long way away from myself. No, hey, Robin.
Yes.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Yeah, I think I do.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
No.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently passed some kind of stupid law or whatever?
Yeah.
Tell them to mind their own business while you mind your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
All right.
It's surprisingly all right.
I'll do that.
It's surprisingly inexpensive. That program, chat room friend who missed the name, is Homeland.
Oh, old 9336.
Yeah, our buddy, listener 9336. Hello, friend. Maybe I should change it because I can actually select in my configuration what the name will be. And ooh, so it's something number. And so it could be Discourser, or it could be something that encourages them to choose an actual name. Something that is like little penis. Little penis. Born with a small todger, 9336. Yes, I should be born with a small todger. I'm a girl. Could be a girl. I don't know.
Girls have small todgers.
Yeah, little one.
Typically.
Yeah, so Claire Danes, she's quite good in it. I didn't recognize that was who it was, but I probably should have because her name's right there in the credits.
So Claire Danesy.
Now, is there any other shows?
She was in, what was that breakout, the show when it was like everyone loved it?
Oh, God.
Are you talking about Romeo?
My so-called life.
My so-called life. Do you remember that? They used to play that. It was you know, it was part of Ice TV. They used to play it. Well, yeah, Ice TV.
She was in Terminator 3.
No one cares.
Yeah, I know.
And that was based on or inspired by Being Eve, the New Zealand series.
What? Really? What?
Yeah. That was
My So-Called Life was inspired by Being Eve.
Yep.
Being Eve predates My So-Called Life?
Yep.
I'm not entirely sure I believe you.
My So-Called Life TV series, 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb. 8.8!
Yes, Claire Danes get high ratings because everyone loves Claire Danes.
Wow, she looks weird with a different hair colour. I don't remember that at all. Man, I don't remember this program. God, it looks so early
actually,
to mid-90s.
Sorry, you're absolutely right. Being Eve was 2001.
Yes.
Am I thinking of something else?
You must be. Are you thinking of the one with the swimming?
Lost your mind.
Of what?
No, that's not the one you're thinking of.
Alex.
I'm sure there was some New Zealand series that maybe my social life is inspired by. Or, I don't know.
Well, there must be some trivia on it then. Let's see. Oh, no, it'll be Movie Connections, won't it? Let's see what this has to say. Early on, Alicia Silverstone was considered for the role of Angela Chase. Well, that's not the sort of thing I'm after.
No, I don't think that's related to what you're talking about. Goodness gracious, though, I went to Being Eve, right? And then I looked up Fleur Saville. She's been in Being Eve. The Tribe doesn't really count. Serial Killers, Interrogation, Madigan's Quest, Sione's Wedding, Shortland Street.
Wow, she is like the ultimate New Zealand actress.
Not just the New Zealand actress, those are all South Pacific Pictures productions.
This, My So-Called Life, is a version of Mein Leben and Ich. Mein Leben!
Yes. Classic Kiwi telly.
Which has only 6.7 out of 10. And obviously is, I shouldn't say obviously, I assume, is German.
So My Life and Me.
Hey, Ryan's on the internet. I wonder if he's on Skype. We could have a live international... No, he's not. Useless prick.
But he's got an iPad, so he could do it.
The freaky thing... is with My So-Called Life, there was Claire Danes and then Jared Leto was like the hot guy at his school, and they are now, Claire Danes and Jared Leto are older than the parents of Claire Danes' character in My So-Called Life because it's that old.
So are we.
Yeah, I'm older than the parents in Beverly Hills 90210, which is like, fuck.
Oh my God. That is so weird.
Is it?
You'd like to know, Morgan, you'd be pleased to know that listener 9336 has changed their name in the chat room to Massive Todge.
Oh, fair enough. Well, see, it's a better name, isn't it? And now I can really interact with them. Hey, Massive Todge. Protest much?
Do you remember my video game nickname?
I remember that we played Half-Life. I remember that we played the original...
Was the name I used to use for Battlefield. Doesn't really matter. It was Girthy. That was what I was getting at. It was Girthy.
Yes, I do remember that, actually. Yeah, I didn't remember that, but now that you remind me, it rings a bell.
Must be nearly finished, but I'd like to do a reading, if I may.
All right. I have a reading button.
Corrections.
I'm sorry, I'm correcting in advance. There's about to be a reading. I apologize.
This is called Last Train to Helensville.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that Helensville was one of those destinations that was becoming popular as a destination for day trips. Not wanting to be left out, I got in my car and drove along State Highway 16 until I came to the delightful little town of Helensville, nestled near the southern end of the Kaipara Harbour. The first thing I did was visit the second-hand shop. It's in half of the old movie theatre, so there's all this old stuff piled up neat? Next, it's handwritten. Having trouble. Next to the ceiling. Next to the screen. Unfortunately, the place was dimly lit and there wasn't much room to move. I got sick of feeling like I was going to knock something over all the time, so I left. Actually, by then I was getting sick of the whole town and the afternoon was getting on and the shops were shutting. It seemed that the only thing left open was the supermarket, so I went there and ended up buying a badly made muffin. This was obviously a sign that I ought to leave the lovely scenic town, so I got back in my car and headed back. I noticed a sign advising that there was a scenic lookout a few kilometres ahead. Soon enough, I found the little gravel area off the side of the road that overlooked the Kaipara Harbour. Sometimes the simplest things are the best.
That is a total retard.
That was from Scenic Route Number 1, a New Zealand zine published in, I have no fucking idea, 2002. By, let me just check, sorry, Robin Gallagher.
And the, the accompanying, no, she was Gallagher then. The accompanying music track was the Electric Light Orchestra, Last Train to London.
I also have another zine by Robin Gallagher, which was My Home Country, published on the 28th of September 2001, which, as you'll remember, was a very hectic time for the world.
It was.
And apparently it's 120 minutes worth of scribbles to do with New Zealand.
I made that in Newcastle at Australia at a zine workshop.
My Home Country, this is as close as I could get.
He fucking blew that. I'm trying to left-handed mouse.
It was really inelegant. I'm hungry.
Why
I'm
is
tired.
This not making the noise I want it to make? Oh, you fucking shit, boy. God damn it! That was gonna be so good! Wow, that sure was smooth.
I don't
like it. Yeah.
In your mouth. In the house. Corn beef. Corn beef.
I want a big corn beef sandwich.
Country roads, take me home, corned beef.
I've put corned beef.
With peas on the top, and mustard on the side. I resign.
Corned beef. Hey Dylan, get out of here.
I'm going.
Word to your mother. Oh, it's just turned into chaos.
Oh my god, how did we resist the urge to rickroll our election viewers?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think, why not?
Why not have a bit of fun at the end of a season?
Because you're pros, that's why.
And it's the overflow. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hey, listeners.
Oh, hey, you know what? Yeah. You know what we said we were going to do? We said we were going to do some Urban Dictionary words.
Okay.
Oh, I had one. Okay, sorry. Yep. Let me do one. I got one.
Last thing.
Yep, all right. I was totally going to go, but I'm staying for this.
Discourse Weekly Show. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. Word of the week.
Urban Dictionary. Word of the week.
Yep, and the word is Louise.
Oh, I know what Louise is. Louise is a pretty girl. She's a pretty girl in school. She's the girl you want to be.
Robin?
It's when your bra is too tight.
We've got a winner.
No, we've got a winner. Wrong.
Bullshit. I read it today.
No, you're a little bit wrong, though. Louise always attracts attention to herself without even trying. She is extremely intelligent, but sometimes a little ditzy when she gets too excited. But always interesting and fun. Louise always looks gorgeous and has a fantastic smile that lights everyone up. She treats people fairly and truthfully, even if they don't like it. Don't mess with her. She will never forget it. Louise is the greatest one-man woman lover. Louise is the greatest one-man woman lover you will ever find and is always optimistic with life and stubbornly determined to succeed like a warrior at whatever she attempts. Louise's are great people. Hug one and tell her so today.
Someone wrote that about their girlfriend.
And 1,100 people think it's good, and only 96 have downvoted it.
Well, I'll tell you my one. The word is nightball.
It's a game I play in bed.
I think it's just a game of it's a game of basketball or baseball played at night.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. a nightball is an eight ball consumed before going to bed by someone who has the ability to go to bed after an eight ball. If said person does not have the tolerance to go to sleep, the consumption does not constitute a nightball. And the sample sentence is, my friend Robin suggested I do a nightball to soothe my nerves. And if you're wondering, that is me, that is that Robin in that sentence, which is why I suggested it. Basically, what happened is this was in 2007. I was in an IRC chat room and someone was leaving and they went to type night all, but they hit this B instead of the space bar. And so it was like, well, what's a nightball? And we kind of came up with this definition and someone added it to Urban Dictionary. But, oh my God, there's been another, actually just a few days ago, and a new definition of nightball, a slimy ball that randomly appears in your dryer after you leave it on overnight. Some northern cultures eat it as a delicacy. A nightball is mostly made of mucus that is collected in the anal cavities and then transferred to ones under bridges and then the dryer.
Under bridges? Under britches. It's underpants, britches.
That's it. Look, this. Oh, well, they've written bridges.
Yeah, they're illiterate.
The person who wrote it was called Johanna Van Nippleballs, so perhaps English is not their first language.
I would like to give you one from Jesus. Big sausage pizza.
It's a larger than normal sausage pizza.
Yeah. Rubsy?
When you get two gay people who love each other.
Is that the totality of it? When a man asks a woman if she'd like a pizza with extra sausage, but to her surprise, when she opens the pizza, the man's penis is poking through the warm cheese. Did someone order a big sausage pizza? We're gonna go out high. Yeah.
I wanna say at this stage, we should probably put a warning in there. Do not put your penis in pizza. The cheese can burn.
Oh yes.
Oh, you just gotta get your timing right.
Yes, you definitely don't want to do that.
You just got to roll it over. Your word is big sexy.
Morgan.
The host of the Discourse Weekly Show.
We've got a winner. Corrections. You're all wrong.
A large, well-dressed and well-groomed woman who, while weighing well in excess of a healthy weight, also exudes sexuality.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That is completely real.
Yes. Big sexy.
Morgan.
Right. I'm going now.
Morgan.
Okay, bye, Dylan.
Bye, Dylan. I love you all. Thank you. See you next season, but probably sooner.
Yeah, more or less.
All right, I'm turning off the show. Thank you. Love you all you guys, and we'll see you again soon. I don't know how long we can go actually without making an episode.
We'll do something.
But I'm gonna try and take at least a couple of weeks off. And if I manage to take a couple of weeks off, I'll probably manage to make it through all the way into next year. And then, you know, we'll just won't ever bring it back. This might be the last ever episode.
It seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely. But it might be. I would like to, if we don't see you again before then, I would like to wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
What about Jews?
Happy Hanukkah.
And the people who celebrate Kwanzaa. Who the hell celebrates Happy Kwanzaa? Kwanzaa?
African Americans.
It's totally fake though, right?
It's just one of those coincidental things. So it's like a harvest festival kind of thing.
Enjoy your dreidels, little, what's the name for small Jewish children?
No,
there's probably words, right?
Babka.
Little Jews. Have a happy Hanukkah, little Jews.
Enjoy your dreidels, children. Enjoy your crazy worshipping at the feet of Mammon, Christians. It's better to receive than to give a shit.
Ham and turkey and open presents.
I've really enjoyed this season of the show. We've had our high points and our low points. Like, for instance, when we forgot how fun and useful it is to have guests for half the season. Man, people got tired of that. And that episode, Dylan, where it was just you and me. People were not fans. I really dislike the two voice episodes.
Yeah, it needs more.
It does not work with two. Three plus. Gotta be three plus.
Under seven. Fewer than seven.
Three or four and a guest, in fact, is really ideal, I think.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Love you. Yeah. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Fish and chips. Sorry. The show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.